Welcome back to the Black Block here on the 70th anniversary of human rights, apparently.
Human rights and the Genocide Convention.
Yes. Yeah. Yesterday.
Extremely important acts. On the line now we have LaToya Rule.
Hi.
We got you.
How are you?
Hello, sis. Welcome to the show. We're talking human rights as usual. Tell us what's been happening. What are you doing down here?
What are you doing today?
Today we are. So I've come over for the weekend from Ghana country, which is in Adelaide, where I'm from. I'm a Wiradjuri and Māori woman, but I've resided on Ghana country my whole life. So shout out for them.
Yes. We just had Irene Watson from Ghana country.
And I've come over, this weekend for the Uncle Ray Jackson memorial poster launch that happened.
Yes.
And that was yesterday, where, Gary Foley and a few others had some words there about Uncle Ray Jackson's life. And then on Saturday that was as well. So, we're kind of celebrating and remembering our warriors. And also for myself, my brother's, his name was Wayne Fella Morrison. He passed in custody just over 2 years ago. And we're going through the coroner's proceedings. So I came to speak about that and yesterday memorialising our people who have passed in custody as Aboriginal deaths in custody. And so today for International Human Rights Day, we're going to be at Bourke Street Mall at 1 p.m. And alongside our allies and our mob, we're going to be holding up the faces and the names and the stories of our people who have passed in custody and, making sure that people remember these people.
Can you just reiterate that, the time and the place exactly where that's going to take place?
Yep, 1 p.m. Yep. At Bourke Street Mall in Melbourne.
Okay, so that's about an hour away. And we'd encourage all of our mob to support that. And there's many non-Aboriginal people who see this as a pretty fundamental crime against our people continuing here, and to come and support us down there today. As we're saying, it's the 70th anniversary of the Human Rights Charter, the creation of the United Nations. But none of these laws seem to apply to us here. And just recently, we've had a very similar case to your brother, Warren, with a lady by the name of Tanya. We had no clue about what happened, and it's been nearly 2 years since she passed. It's just come out now that it's considered to be a death in custody, and we had no idea that that happened. I just know, what's the circumstances of your brother?
Yeah, it's not unusual to not be told. We weren't told for a few hours after the incident occurred in Yatala Prison in Adelaide. And essentially he was 6 days on remand, no convictions, no prior history of police contact. He was 29 years old. He has a young daughter. And he was in there on remand, and there was apparently an altercation that occurred, and then he was restrained by over 14 corrections officers, had a spit hood, had his arms tied behind his back and his legs tied, and then he was put in the back of a transport van with 7 corrections officers. Now, 3 minutes later, when he was pulled out, he was dead for 50 minutes. And then for 3 days following, he was on intensive care. And so his story, it took 2 years. We're only going through the coroner's court just now. And unfortunately, I don't know if people have seen in the media, particularly on The Guardian's reporting, but the corrections officers and their lawyers are actually saying that we're trying to fight that they don't have to witness or give statements or show up in court, in the coroner's court, because it might criminalise them. So there's a human right, which is why it's just kind of funny that it's International Human Rights Day, there's a human right that's actually protecting these corrections officers from coming into that court and giving evidence about the final moments of Wayne's life, and how we as a family, I guess, we don't have that right to say that, don't have the right to know.
And does any people have the right to say that I won't be answering any questions because it may incriminate me? What's the idea of a court and an inquiry in the first place, if you can say that?
That's right. Coroner's courts are supposed to be about, apparently, truth-telling.
Answering questions.
Yeah, and what happened? Like, you know, for our family, for corrections, even for their own betterment. I mean, I'm a prison abolitionist, but when you look at their policies, they're always saying they want to do better. And here they are avoiding showing up in the first instance. It's also a big spit in the face, not only to our human rights, but to the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody that really pushed this aspect of coronial investigations, although they're state-run, you know, really pushed it for transparency and accountability purposes.
Millions of dollars were spent in these Royal Commissions of Inquiry. Nothing ever seems to happen. You know, what happened to the 300 recommendations? You know, that doesn't seem to apply. It's just a stalling tactic. And I think the real intent is to, obviously, the real intent here is to continue to commit genocide. It's so obvious. And I think Australia's so glaringly guilty, and they have failed to prevent or punish anyone in regards to that crime alone. And where's the human rights laws in this country today? I'm not really aware of where that's at, but it seems they don't apply to our people.
No, look, I'm all about, to be honest, nation building and looking at our own ways of collaborating with other nations across Australia, so-called Australia, and actually just, building a revolution against these things. Because I explained yesterday, and it might sound really severe, but I've been listening to a little bit of Malcolm X lately and the way he speaks about revolution, because I feel very like we're getting there with all the police brutality, with all the correctional violence against our people, and we've been here before, but I really feel like it's coming on. And I looked at the faces of the Aboriginal people who have passed in custody, and all of their blood has been spilled. And as Malcolm X says, every revolution has been about land, and it's been a bloody battle. And
absolutely.
So I look at all the blood that's been spilled of our people, and then I look at what we're doing in response, and we're very lenient. We've been very lenient.
That's just the nature of our people. You know, we're human.
Yeah.
And, you know, none of these protection. You know, I'm just thinking about the Protection Act of Aboriginal People. It was another act of genocide to our people. You know, put us in concentration camps. That was their idea of protecting us.
Yeah.
And, you know, the worst thing you could possibly get is get protection from this state.
That's so, right. And with these, you know, drug and alcohol, and particularly, you know, a shout out and give my respects to Tanya's family and other families who have gone under the Liquor Licensing Act and, you know, who have been picked up due to alcoholism or what they say, or drunkenness and, you know, in public. But, to be honest, like, prisons are being seen, and holding cells have always been seen as sobering up units. And as a social worker, I know that, you know, particularly the one on Kaurna Country in Adelaide, the sobering up unit, police take people there all the time. But then they come back into the cells once they've sobered up. So cells are actually being seen as a positive way to sober someone up, but, like, that's where they die.
And yeah, so, well, there's the issue of jurisdiction and all of that as well. You know, what right have they actually got to judge and try our people and incarcerate us when they haven't got, you know,
consent and
jurisdiction over us? Latoya, we've got someone else on the line. Is that right, Viv?
I will.
Just mention that down in Bourke Street today at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. Yeah, we'll see you there, sis.
We'll see, try and get there. And also on Wednesday, I've got my program, so if you want to come back on Friday, we've got a Brian Gregg, who actually put up the Anti-Genocide Convention back in 1999, coming on the air. So sorry to wind you up like that, but, you know.
No, thank you.
Appreciate you coming on. And
go process, and I'll see you all down there.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be there for
thank
sure,
you.
Sis.
Thanks,
all right,
sis.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Latoya
Rule. Whose brother passed away in custody a couple of years ago, very similar circumstances to lots of our people. You know, we don't even get to hear what happened at the time. You know, we find out days later, and in Tanya's case, years later.